we welcome to the program, well, he's the reigning Maine Sports Writer of the Year with good reason, from the Portland Press-Herald, Travis Lazarchik joins us. Hello there, Travis.
Hey, Rich. Good afternoon. That rain is going to be coming to an end soon. So,
how was your journey? Now, you were headed over to the old stomping grounds, right?
Yeah, I just drove over to Vermont this afternoon. Uneventful. That's always the best way to describe it.
Glad to hear that. Well, let's talk about this crazy Maine football season that came to an end in the wildest of fashions on Saturday. And you talked about it on social media. That's certainly one of the more memorable games any of us have seen.
Yeah, I mean, great rivalry game, right? You see UNH every few, you know, series. Looks like they're going to pull away. They're up 14 points at least, what, three times. And, you know, Maine comes back each time. And then that play in overtime, I can't imagine how you were describing it in live action on the radio with the hitch and pitch and lateral, and Rohan Jones just sneaks in to the left pylon there to get in. And then I thought the absolute right decision was made to go for two when you got New Hampshire on the heels right there. They just made a great defensive play to stop the Black Bears and get back to Musket.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And that play, when it ended, I said to Bob Lucy, I would go back and recap that, but I'm not sure I remember everything that happened on that play.
Yeah, I had to try to look at the replay on the Jumbotron just to make sure I had it all right in my head.
Now, did you find out, was that was a design play? It had to be, with that wall of blockers for Jones over on the left side.
It was a design play. Coach Stevens said it's one of those plays that every team has in their bag just for that occasion. And, you know, you don't want to be 4th and 16 from the 31 with the game on the line. But when you are in that situation, you have those series of plays that you pull out and hope they work. And that one worked exactly how they wanted it to.
But I agree with you. The two-point decision, I thought, was a good one to make at that point. You got nothing to lose if you're the Black Bears. But then New Hampshire, seeing Joe Fagnano in the shotgun, just sent everybody right up the middle. And, of course, you watch the replay. You can see a wide-open Xavier Scott in the end zone. And I guess he was the primary, but Joe had to get rid of that ball.
Yeah, Xavier was the guy they were trying to get to. And like George Stevens said in the postgame with us, you want to – the ball in your best guy's hands, and that's Joe to Xavier. Unfortunately, he just didn't have time, and he had to check off down to Freddie Brock, who throws a little behind him. He couldn't make the play. And with a linebacker right on Freddie, I don't know if he makes the catch, if he's getting in anyway.
Boy, Xavier Scott had such a game. Both he and Elijah Barnwell over 100 yards, and it was the best running performance by a Black Bear team in years and for the season. Now, he only had 39 carries, but Scott averaged, I think, better than 9 yards a carry for the season. And you wonder if things might have been different if they'd used him a bit more in that running game.
Yeah, he just slowly, as the season went on, just did so much for this offense, Rich. Running the ball, being a clutch receiver, even blocking at times. He really emerged as one of their top threats. And, yeah, maybe if you'd gotten him the ball a little earlier in the season a few times, a couple of those close games change. But, he certainly had a great season.
Well, you'll never see a season, I can't imagine you will, where a team loses 5 games by a combined 11 points. And Rick Santos said after the game, you know, this is not a 2-9 team. And it is. It is a 2-9 team, but also very easily could have been, I don't know, a 6- or 7-win team anyway. And with any kind of luck and some breaks along the way, could have been contending for postseason.
No, you're absolutely right, but they just weren't consistent enough. That inconsistency caught up to them. If they had a good start like they did against Stony Brook or Rhode Island, they couldn't finish. If they had a poor start like giving up 21 quick points to Richmond, they couldn't quite get back over the hump that they had created. Same thing really yesterday, down 14-0 early to New Hampshire. And, you know, give them credit all season for fighting. But you got to be able to play 4 consistent quarters, and they just never did that this season.
No, and I think from Jordan and everybody on the staff, that's certainly going to be the focus going into next year. But there were some good things, even with the record, which is the worst by a Maine team since Jack Bignell's 1979 squad. But for the most part, Saturday notwithstanding, they cleaned up a long-term penalty issue this year and got much better at that. And turnovers became almost a thing of the past with just 1 in the final 6 games of the season.
Yeah, they took care of the football. They didn't make the dumb mistakes that had hurt them in the past. They just need to just put that together more consistently. I thought the pass rush that was almost non-existent last year was much better. I don't know how many sacks they ended up with this year, but it's just having 12 a season ago and having, you know, around 20 this year is a step in the right direction.
We're talking with Travis Lazarchuk here on Downtown. Now the offseason begins. Now they've got to wait a little bit before they can jump into recruiting because the NCAA has added a new dead period this year while they wait for FBS teams to finish up. But there are certainly some priorities for this team. Offensive line, certainly a place where they'll look, although they have the potential at least of having four of their starters back.
Yeah, I think Michael Garassi might be the only one who can't come back because he's a grad student, right?
Right.
I'm having trouble this year figuring out who can come back and who can't because you used to look at the roster and go, senior, okay, they're done. But now with people getting that COVID year back, it's going to be a lot of wait and see for the coaches, too, to see who's going to graduate and who's going to maybe say, yeah, I'll take a grad year and come back.
Yeah, and Sean Bowman, the great tight end, has a year left.
He's one of those guys, yeah.
But from all indications, he is not planning on coming back at this point. And then, of course, the transfer portal makes everything even more challenging. You have to, as some have said, coaches have to recruit their own team. And a guy, I wonder if teams out there will have interest in a Joe Fagnano, a veteran quarterback who still has 2 years of eligibility left.
Yeah, he's another guy who we kind of have to wait and see his plans. Defensively, I'm sure there's a few, too. I think about the only place they're really not getting hit hard by graduation or question marks is the secondary, where guys like Bugs Brown and Shakur Smalls will definitely be back.
Yeah, they've got a pretty good core coming back in the secondary. Two of their three starting linebackers return, and they've got a guy, Vince Thomas, who played well off the bench, and Darius McKenzie, who they used primarily
right
as a third down guy this year, but he looks like a player for the future.
Yeah, Darius played well. I think Xavier Nurse is coming back. We'll see about some of those pass rushers. I'm not sure if Justin Sambu has a year left. I'm pretty sure Jamel Wiley does not. So a lot of questions that'll be answered in the coming weeks.
It was certainly a tribute and a show of respect to see the CAA get five teams in the playoff field yesterday. I expected four. I was a little surprised to see Delaware get in, but I guess it speaks volumes about your league when you can go 4-4 in the conference and still make the playoffs.
Yeah, well, it just shows how competitive the league is. I mean, we're talking about a Maine team that was 2-9, but they were in virtually every game they played, with the exception of maybe the Villanova game in conference play. So it's nice to see a strong league get recognized by the NCAA.
And likely to get even stronger next year as two more teams come into the league for the 2023 season.
Yeah, who we got coming in? North Carolina A&T and
Campbell. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this league just keeps getting tougher.
Yeah, it'll be curious to see
how road trips for you. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I like that. That part's pretty good. But I think this year, I think some teams, especially a Monmouth, who had had pretty good success in the Big South, I think Monmouth realized that this is a fairly significant step up from their prior conference.
Yeah, and Hampton saw that as well.
Mm. So what's up for you next? Do you shift gears? Obviously, basketball. What do you've got next on your docket?
We've got some UMaine basketball coming up. I just was able to see the men play on Friday night, that big win over Columbia. I, you know, don't know if Columbia is any good as far as the Ivy League goes, but it's been a long time since Maine beat a Division I team by 23 points. So they just keep getting better. And then when I get back from this little Thanksgiving break, a lot of high school hoops and hockey coming up too.
Yeah, Maine men's basketball, and we've said it for years, if they could ever get on a roll, you'd see some excitement, and it sounds like the atmosphere in the pit the other night was the best we've seen for men's basketball in years.
Yeah, the crowd was enthusiastic and into it, and a win over an ACC team will, you know, open a lot of eyes. And just today, you saw a couple guys honored by the America East Conference. Kellen Tynes is the player of the week, and I'm forgetting already the kid who was rookie of the week. So it's been a while since Maine swept those awards.
Now, are you hearing anything about the search for the new athletic director and how close they're getting to choosing that person?
Last I had heard a week or so ago was they hadn't decided who the candidates that they want to bring onto campus yet are, but it sounds like they want to move fast and have a name by the middle of December, maybe before the holiday break. So I think it's going to be soon where you're going to see candidates arriving in Orono.
Very interesting times indeed. Well, Travis, always great to catch up with you. We appreciate you making some time for us. Hope you and your family have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, you too, Rich. Happy Thanksgiving.
Travis Lazarchik, Portland Press Herald, with us here on Downtown, talking a little University of Maine sports